I sigh when will the moment come when I shall lay my armor by and will in peace at home. We'll wait till Jesus comes. Conduct me home. We'll wait till Jesus comes. We'll wait till Jesus comes. We'll wait till Jesus comes and we'll be gathered home. I saw no more my ship shall roam. With him I'll brave death's chilling tide and reach my heavenly home. We'll wait till Jesus comes. We'll wait till Jesus comes. The Church of Christ we have today, a blessing from the Lord. He gave her to his Son to save and take her home above. The turtle dove is singing now, the winter's past.
First two and the last.
How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is Never choose my path.
Fair haven of rest for the weary.
379. Oh, thank God, the home over there by the side of the river of life, where the saints all immortal and fair are robed in their garments of white. Over there.
Praise and the glory of God that I welcome you here this morning. It's good to see each and every one of you that's come out. I trust that we've come with a pure heart, desiring to lift up His name in praise and adoration. I say that every week that we meet here because that's what I mean. I trust that we have His glory at the foremost of our thoughts. We read in the book of Ecclesiastes, the 3rd chapter, "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Time to be born, the time to die. Time to plant, the time to pluck up that which is planted. Time to kill, time to heal. Time to break down, time to build up. Time to weep and time to laugh, time to mourn and time to dance." He goes on explaining that each event in our life has a purpose. It is by God's will that we have not necessarily a completely easy street in our lives. It says in the 12th verse, I think it is, "I know that there is no good in them." No, it's not the 12th verse. 14th verse. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that man should fear before him. That is a word of promise, a word of consolation to us. We had this past weekend a very good meeting at my other church on top of the mountain. This area was very well represented. I appreciate all that was able to come and take communion with us at War Memorial. I think I was very blessed to have a good day. And I was literally on top of the mountain. I was very happy. There's a lot of rejoicing. The house is packed and there's a good day all around. To the other extent, we lost a dear, dear friend, a dear brother in the church this weekend. And we had to go to the graveside with him as far as we could go. Other than offering our condolences to Mr. Mabry, his children, friends, and offering our prayers, that's about all we can do. We know that times like that's in God's hands, and it causes a lot of sorrow and a lot of sadness. And I say that in that it's very easy to go from one extreme to the other in the day. We left the top of the mountain and come to the funeral home. Brother Orby lost his sister this past month. We have sickness. We have a lot of trials and tribulations. We have a lot to be thankful for. And as we come here this day, knowing that Sister Major couldn't be with us, Sister Carol couldn't be with us, have people sick, but we have an opportunity to come and thank God. And you say, well, I don't have feelings to thank God. But whenever we read something in Ecclesiastes to say that our God is still in control, and he knows our problems, he knows our trials and tribulations, and never once did God tell us that you're going to have a life on easy street. You're going to have everything is going to be placed at your fingertips. You'll never see anything bad. You'll never hear or feel the first slight of sorrow or pain. Never said that. What he did say was that I am the Almighty Great God Jehovah, and that whenever the trials and tribulations and the bad things in life come at you, he said, I will never leave you. I'll never forget you. He said, I will see you through the fire. When the Hebrew children were cast into the fire didn't go out. The fire didn't magically get cooler. But what happened is when they looked in and they said, we cast three in, and now we see four. It showed that God was with us. And he brought them through the fire. He brought them through the waters. He brought them through the trials and tribulations of this life. So when I say I thank God that we can be here, that we have a purpose to be here, that we have an opportunity to worship the Almighty God. This is the God that said, I will be with you. And I trust that we've come to offer praise and thanksgiving to this God this day. That whether we go through operations or sorrows of death in our families or whatever we might have, whether we get bad news from the doctor or whatever, let us thank God this day for the bounty that he has given us, the blessings, and but most of all, the hope that we have a friend in Jesus. That's a precious blessing we have, and we learn the song from the time we were little people. What a friend we have in Jesus, and we kind of don't pay attention to the words of it. But as we come here this day and rejoicing in the nation that we have, a nation of freedom. Let's thank God that we have this purpose to be here this day, that He will be with us and see us through our trials and tribulations. I ask God's blessings on each and every one of you here. Everybody's got a problem that only God can help them. Sometimes we think, well, we're all alone. We don't have anybody to console us. But everybody here has God, and that's something to certainly praise Him for and thank Him for this day. I appreciate everyone being here. I hope we can lift up God's name. We didn't come to make anybody any better than anybody else. It's just I want to convey to you some of God's promises that might go with you this coming week and cause you to look to Him and say, thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Have a song to sing, Brother Keith.
246.
Number 246.
All love to Thee, O Christ, more love to Thee. Hear Thou the prayer I make of bended knee. This is my earnest plea, more love, O Christ, to Thee. More
that Thou would hear our prayers, see our petitions of our needs. Gracious God, realizing we come with nothing to offer, realizing our righteousness is as filthy rags, but coming through the shed blood of Thy Son, O Lord, we beg upon Thee Thy mercy and Thy grace, that Thou would come unto us. Grant us, O Lord, a hearing ear and an understanding heart, that we may listen and hear Thy word proclaimed. Gracious God, as we come here, we're thankful for the many blessings Thou hast bestowed upon us this day, realizing, O Lord, it's through Thy sacrifice of Thy darling Son that we have a freedom and an ability to be here this day to call upon Thee. Gracious God, we thank You for all Thy blessings Thou hast bestowed upon us. We ask You, O Lord, as we come this day in this hour that we have a sadness of our dear departed loved ones. Gracious God, we ask You to be around about his loved ones and his family. Dear God, bless them with the comfort and the peace that comes from only Thee. Gracious God, we ask You to help us to understand the differences between life and death. Cause us, O Lord, to see Thy glory proclaimed. O Lord, we ask You to be around about us as we have our sick and our afflicted. We ask you as the great physician to lift them up and give them a reasonable portion of health. Dear God, we ask this day, as we prepare to celebrate the nation's birthday, that thou would continue to be around about the leaders of this land. Cause it, O Lord, to make the right decisions based upon thy word. Gracious God, we ask you to be around about all of our lawmakers and all the leaders of our country, and give them a healthy body and a healthy mind that they may continue on in this great nation. Dear God, we realize thou hast blessed this nation beyond measure, and we thank you, O Lord, for that. Dear God, we ask you as we go into this service that you would remember the military on a foreign soil this day. Give them a protection, O Lord, that they may come home in a reasonable portion of time. Grant them, O Lord, that they may secure their freedom and their life as they come home and regain their lives here on this land. Dear God, we ask you to be in this meeting, be around about all the churches that gather in thy name this day. Bless us, O Lord, that we may lift up thy name in praise, honor, and adoration. Gracious God, go with us in this service. Bless us all in Christ's name, we humbly pray. And amen.
Amen.
I don't have to tell you how blessed we are in this country. The rest of the world envies us for what we have. We enjoy more freedoms than any nation in this world. And when the Apostle Paul tells us in the book of Galatians that Christ has set us free from bondage of slavery, and that we should stand fast, hold firm, that this is a gift of God, and God has granted this freedom to us, and not become entangled again. We normally take that, and in that pretext, he was talking about not being entangled again in the old law, that we have now a New Testament, we now have a new way of worship, we don't have to sacrifice bulls and goats and so forth, and we don't have to face a certain direction whenever we want to pray to God and go through a priest and all the different things that was a bondage under the law. And he says, now you have a freedom to worship any way you want to, or within reason. You can't say that these days. Somebody will take and run with it. Just like this nation was founded on that purpose, is that we have a freedom to worship any way we want to. And nothing was ever said that we have a freedom to worship any God we want to. It says you have a freedom to worship God any way you want to. And they've taken that and distorted it, but that's something else. But Apostle Paul is talking about that you have been freed from this old law, and you're thinking about a spiritual freedom. But when we look at the news and the world events and realize just how blessed we are, and realize that the freedoms that we have come from the freedom from the law. We're not bound because the laws were established by God's word. We're not bound by all the restrictions that a lot of people are. And we realize that since God established this country and this government that we have, we don't have to worry about people coming in and into our houses and throwing us in jail and in prison and beheading us and all types of things that's gone on all over the world in the name of religion, because we have this freedom. Now, tomorrow we will celebrate the 4th of July. And rightfully we should. We ought to fly our flags and we ought to salute. And somewhere tomorrow, somewhere between all the picnics and the hamburgers and the hot dogs, and between that and the fireworks, I hope every red-blooded American, and everybody else in the world too for that matter, I hope they can stop for just a minute and realize what the day means. It's the nation's birthday, but realize what this country is to us. I hope they can stop and realize of what it took. It nobody just snapped their finger and said, well, let's have an America and everybody be free. It would be all over the world if it was that simple. But it was a lot that went into making us to be the most envied nation in the world. And I hope somewhere tomorrow in all the festivities, we ought to be able to stop and realize what the country was founded on, the principal foundations of this country, of how it was established from the pilgrims on up until this day, and how important it is that we protect the freedoms we've got. They're so fragile that we can let them be taken away from us before we know it. So I hope we'll be able to see the identifying marks that what makes this nation what it is. And it is a very unique nation, but not just tomorrow. I hope every day that we can give praise to our Lord and Savior for the freedom we have in this nation, not just in our lives, but even in our souls, because we know that God has defeated our enemies. He has been with us spiritually and naturally. He has defeated the authorities, the powers of darkness, so that we might live in a freedom. And this country certainly knows how to celebrate. We can throw a party nationwide and celebrate and set off all kinds of firecrackers and have all kinds of parades, but a lot of times we forget who we're celebrating. It's more of a party than anything else. In the book of Deuteronomy, it says in the sixth chapter, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Now, to understand the foundations of what we're celebrating tomorrow, this was a great statement that was made, because sometimes you say, well, I know that. But sometimes, no matter how much we know or how much we think we know, sometimes we need to get back to the basics. And for Israel to say this in the book of Deuteronomy, you've got to understand that they were ready to start on the greatest challenge that they've ever been on. Any nation could begin to start on, Israel was getting ready to start on. They were going into a promised land. It was going to be difficult. They had trials and tribulations they were going to face just getting there. And then once they got there, it's going to be kind of difficult to live there. So God starts them out in the Deuteronomy of giving them a rehash of the fundamentals of what he expects. And in Deuteronomy, he lists the Ten Commandments, but right before he lists the Ten Commandments, he tells you the authority that gives these commandments, and he says, this is what will set you apart. This is the one defining factor, the identification mark that will set you apart from all your neighbors. He said, the Lord your God is one. Now, this is a big statement for Israel to make. This was not a popular statement. Now, I can go through and I can list all the reasons why you should believe in God. But it's not necessary, because everybody here believes in that God. But so instead of listing the reasons why you should believe in God, stop for just a moment and think, what if there was no God? How would your life be different? What if the world was right? What if Moses and Paul and all Isaiah and all, what if they were wrong? And we're here as a being misled. Just think about that. If this is all wrong, there'd be no rules to follow. There'd be no sermons that we'd have to come and endure. There'd be no hard benches that hurt our backs to sit here. You wouldn't even have a reason to come here. We just come and see everybody every once in a while, renew our acquaintances, and go on home. If there was no God, if there was no consequences for my actions, if there's no all-seeing God looking over my shoulder and meddling in what my business is and telling me what I ought to do, wouldn't that be great? If there was no authority, no concern of what God might think if I do this, if the only concern was whatever makes me happy, and we'd live by the rules, don't get in my face and I won't get in yours, wouldn't that be great? No restriction. Be complete freedom. Now, I know people that believe that. And I'm sure you do too. You've seen people that live like there is no God. And think how great and wonderful their life is. Think how happy they are. They never have to search for anything. I haven't seen them. The fool says in their heart there is no God. But the problem is that it's not that we don't believe in God. Sometimes we just act like God's not anywhere around. And the only time we remember God is when we have trials or tribulations come up, or when we have or when we want to come to church and talk about how bad somebody else is being, or that they're not doing right, or our kids getting problems, or doctors telling us something bad, then we remember God. But what I want you to see is that even when things are going great, we don't have any problems on the horizon, and we don't have the authority to put God away, because God is still God. But we ought to remember that the number one claim to Christianity, the thing that sets Christianity apart from all the other religions, is that there is only one true God. Now, all these other religions, they claim they've got a God, but their God couldn't do everything, so they had to rely on something else. We have the only God that doesn't need anything else. And this is what the Apostle Paul talked about whenever he went in the book of Acts, whenever he went to Athens. When he finally got there, he spent 3 weeks in Thessalonica. And Apostle Paul, he's probably about like me in some relation. He couldn't keep his mouth shut. And he stirred up people, and they run him out of town. And he had to hide by night in Berea, and then the mob followed him there, and they stirred up the people again of what he was preaching, and the brothers of the church had to hide him. And finally, after about 3 weeks, he got to Athens. And I know everybody's heard of Athens, Greece, but in this early first half of the century, it was a great city, but it was on its way downhill. It had always been a place of culture and a place of education, but the political center and the commerce center, it was kind of fading out. And even though it had a big university and had all these fancy buildings, it was losing its political clout in the world. And now this great city that had been great was, even though it was still powerful, it was not near as powerful as it had been, and now it was known more as a city of idolatry and a city of philosophy rather than a political powerhouse it was. And I know you've all read in high school about the Greek mythology, about his where there's all kinds of Greek gods and goddesses, and they were more like humans than they were people. And somebody said one time that it was easier to find a god in Greece than